Glad to have with us today Jean and Marie Volse from Toronto. Jean has already given us an excellent lesson downstairs in the adult class, and we're looking forward to his lesson this morning. I've asked him to say a few words about the work that he spearheads in Haiti, and which this congregation gives some support to. So, without further ado, call upon you, Jean, for this morning's lesson.
Thanks, Howard. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. And we bring you greetings from Haiti and the congregation there and the orphanage. All the kids are doing very well, and some of you may have the chance to see some of the photos that we took on our last trip. We just came back on April 2nd from Haiti, and I'm sorry that last time I was supposed to be here, I couldn't come because I had just come from Haiti, then 2 weeks later, I had to come to go back because there was some issues that we needed to deal with, and I'm glad to tell you that issue has been resolved, and the Lord has been with us, and we, for as far as the church is concerned, we have young men from the congregation who have come up, step up the plate, if they said, and they come and they learn more, and they want to learn more so that they can go out there and preach the word. We're glad to be able to help them remotely. We have lessons that we prepare, and we call them at least three, four times a week. We keep in touch with them, and when we go there, we have lots of Bible classes for them. And the challenge I had with them is that they said, well, I can no longer spend more than 3 months in a row in Canada. So they said, I have to go back and help them to take the message out. It's a different atmosphere there because it's culturally it's different. You can just go anywhere and people will just gather and hear the word. It's not the same in Canada or in the US, I understand. And I had the experience last time, especially when we got there, we worship during the day, like Sunday morning in the building. And in the evening, we went to street corners, various street corners where we just met, and we shared the word there. And before you know it, within 15 minutes, there will be at least 100 people around you ready to hear the word. And when you leave, they are still there. So we were busy, and I got to do 2 weddings while I was there. And everything is going well. I just need to keep on helping them and giving them more encouragement. Some of them are young. They are finishing high school. And these young men, they are anxious to preach. They have to learn. And when we do a Bible study, then there are always so many questions they have. So, and they go back and come with more questions from their friends. So there is a great need for us to do more work to help them. And one of the burden that came with me, because there were 3 of us who went this time, and told me that Strathmore wants you, but these guys need you. And I said, I understand. And they told me that I need to be there. And so I will have to find a way to spend more time with them. Not as much time that I would like, but I'll spend some with them. And I'm thankful for the support we have from you to help them out, and that's going well. And we have brethren from Port-au-Prince who come and preach for them from time to time to encourage. It's a fairly young congregation, but there is a lot of hope that the Lord's word will be preached and will continue to be preached from that congregation and beyond. Our plan is to not just stay in from Parisien, but to take the word hundreds of miles around from Parisien. So it's going to be challenging, but with God's help, it is possible. The kids at the orphanage are doing very well. They are very happy. And I noticed during worship service, if you went to worship, you would not know which kids belong to the orphanage, which kids belongs to those in the community. They're just blend. They're just, you would not know. You could not tell by the way they look. You could not tell by the way, nothing would tell you that these kids belong to, I mean, in the orphanage. So your help has been really great, and we appreciate it all. And they cannot be here to say thank you, so I'm saying thank you on their behalf. We started something while we were there because, as most of you would remember, because of their situation, and they couldn't go to school because the regular schools in Haiti, you have to be a certain age to belong to a certain class, just like here. But unfortunately, we don't have the same means in Haiti. And these kids that are coming as orphans, well, had never been in school. So to tell them that if you are 4 years old, you belong here, if you are 10, you belong here, well, they have never been anywhere. So we were forced to find some teachers to teach them. And so we have the burden of a school that we didn't plan for. So, but what we try to do now is that now that we have to teach them, and we see the progress that these teachers are doing. It's like they are trying to get these kids up to speed so that they can go to any school and no difference would be felt. And I can tell you right now that some of these kids that knew nothing now can write their names, and they are writing my names. Like I said, where did that come from? So these kids are pretty bright. They just need help. So, and we are helping them out with your help. And what we try to do now is to, for this last trip, we went for April, for March 17 to April 2nd, we went to build a few classrooms because there were no classrooms for them. And we've started, and we are about 50% done of all the classrooms that we are trying to, because we started, but we left the locals to continue because they can do that kind of work. They know about bricks and the way they lay things there. So that while we came here, they continued, and we're about 50% complete. So the plan is to, we take a break, and we told them we will go back in June, God willing, to continue. And that will, once we get what we need to go and continue, we would need about $11,000 to finish that work there. So that's what we're hoping to be able to raise. And I won't be going to Haiti in June, but Marie, my wife, will go to close the school year, and she will supervise at that time the work and continue what needs to be done for the school to be ready, the classrooms to be ready for September, God willing. So we are doing well, all things considered, all is well. And we're glad to be here this morning to share with you a portion of God's word. The passage we just read in Ephesians chapter 4 tells us a lot. And we are reminded that as Christians, we are born again. This is a passage that is based on the Lord's conversation with Nicodemus, that most of the time, as Christians, we are referred to as born again. Because in that passage in John, Jesus, talking to Nicodemus, said, well, you have to be born again. If you're going to try to get into God's kingdom, you will need to be born again. And Nicodemus was having trouble understanding how that could come about because he was very old. Then Jesus made it clear to him that he needed to be born of water and spirit. He needed, basically, to be baptized. And we understand that. And in John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. And we understand that when Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preached the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2, he made it clear to those who were there that they needed to hear the word, to be baptized, to repent of their sins. And that's what we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when we obey the gospel, when we have our sins washed away, then we become the new creation that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians. So we know that as Christians, we are born again and we are a new creation. So we need to understand what Christ means by that. And I think in Ephesians chapter 4, 17 to 32, we understand by the instructions for Christian living that Jesus and Paul here are trying to tell us something. So in verse 17 of Ephesians 4 of our text, Paul says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their mind." These instructions on Christian living are so important that Paul stresses it for the Christian. He said, "I told you this and I'm insisting on it that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do." And I like what Gill's exposition commentary explains this text. So these words, Gill said, may be considered either as an assertion and so a testimonial of the different walk and conversations of the saints in Ephesus, but it could also be an exhortation in the name. So when we go back, we see that Paul is trying to tell the Christians that they needed to remember that they were a new creation and that they needed to have a different kind of living, different from the way the Gentiles do. So in God's eyes, we are God's people. And we need to remember that we are important. As people of God, we are important for several reasons. One of them, we are important because we are a human being. Just because God created us, because the Bible tells us that God created us in his own image. You remember in Genesis that God spoke everything else into existence. But when it came to us, human, God made us. God created us. So, and it's interesting that when you look at after God created everything and spoke everything into existence, God said he saw everything was good. But when he created men and women, both male and female, the Bible says, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. I don't know why the Bible stresses that. The same verse says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image, that should have been enough. But he says, in the image of God, he created them. And he continues to say that male and female, he created them. So God created male and female. So God values us. In God's eyes, you are very important. So we must not let anyone make us feel otherwise. God values us. We are important in God's eyes. So God, after created us, human, he saw that was very good. So we know that because God created us, because God formed us in his own image and in his own resemblance, we are special, we are important in God's eyes. So God created male and female, and we are important both. Both genders are important to God. It's very good, Genesis 1:31, that God saw that. So no matter what this life throws our way, we must remember that we are important to God. We are not a reject. We are not a something that God just happened to do. But to God, we are a masterpiece. And I like what the psalmist, like what David has to say in Psalm 139, verse 14. In Psalm 139, verse 14, David tells us how important we are in God's eyes. In Psalm 139, 14, there David rightly says, I praise you, God, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Unlike David, however, many are not happy today with themselves. David sees himself as a greatest creation of God. God has made him wonderfully. David appreciates the work of God in him. But many today are not so happy about themselves. Some are not happy with their nose. Some are not happy with their forehead. Some are not happy with their breast or whatever. So they keep those physicians very busy changing this, changing that, because they just don't like what they see. And some people go even further to not like the entire body. Some claim that they feel that they have been trapped in the wrong body. For example, they look like male, but they feel, they say, that deep inside they are female, and vice versa. So they have to go and change because they don't feel that they belong to this body. It is a pity because that tells us how much things that sin can do to someone. That shows you the power of sin. Once you start thinking as the Gentiles, as those pagans do, in the futility of their thinking, Paul says, we can get into that kind of thinking and that kind of behavior. Not only are we important because God created us physically, we are important because God has made us a spiritual creation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul reminds us that we are a new creation. Those of us who have put on Christ, who have become part of God's family, we are a new creation. And because we are a new creation, we have to have a new way of living. We cannot live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. We must watch how we live. Paul says, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Change your way of life. Put off your old self. Verse 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Ephesians 4, 22. You were taught, Paul says, we taught you to put off your old self. Now that's interesting to say, but how do we do that? As the church, we know that we are expected to live the Christian life. We know that we're supposed to do things God's way when we become Christians, but how do we do that? Can we expect someone who had been living in sin all their life to come to obey the gospel today and immediately change their way of thinking, their way of talking, their way? Like, it will happen, it needs to happen. But do we have some work to do as the church to encourage, to teach how to get that done? How do you put off your old self? Paul helps us in verse 25, 26, 27. Put off falsehood. Start by telling the truth. Put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. When you become a member of the Lord's church, well, you stop lying. That's a way to start putting off your old self. Don't hold grudges. Verse 26 tells us, don't be angry for too long. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Verse 26. Don't hold grudges. Verse 28 tells us, if you have been stealing, stop stealing and start working. So we have to do certain work if we want to please God. Now, most of us, if not all of us, are able to manage to stay away from these sins we just mentioned. Most of us would do well staying away from those things that we just mentioned. But how well will we do with the following? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Wholesome or unwholesome talk. How is your speech? Those who listen to you, are they encouraged or discouraged? Do you help them by what you say, or do you destroy them by what you say? We must only say what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. This is the Lord's expectation, but we do know that the devil will not just let it happen. We know that we have the adversary that's there to help us do contrary to what God says. So James says, anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. James 3, verse 2. If you can control what you say, then you are perfect. Most of us will not do the wrong things, but we might say the wrong thing. We might kill someone by what we say. We won't go out there killing people, but we might destroy them by what we say to them or about them, even worse. With God, everything is possible. With the help of the Holy Spirit in us, we can and we must do our best to live a life worthy of the name of Christ. In verse 31 and verse 32, the Bible says, if we submit to his will, the Holy Spirit will help us get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. He will help us to be kind and compassionate to one another, to be forgiving to each other. And just as Christ God forgave us, we will learn to forgive one another. May the Lord help us to remember that we have been purchased at a high price. Jesus died, and Paul reminds the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20 that the church is so important to God that he purchased the church even with the blood of his son. So as members of the Lord's church, we have a responsibility to one another to help each other grow in the knowledge of God's word, to encourage one another and not destroy them, to make sure that what we do and say help instead of destroy one another. We need to remember that God wants us to love the way we are, not to follow what the world says and how the world views themselves. Some people say that, I was reading something about genders to show you how sinful the world has become and the tendency. Some people were saying, after there was some kind of a dating site, that website said that there could be 40-something genders. how can anyone, what do you have to do to the human body to come out with more than two genders? Imagine, what kind of thinking do you have to cause the human body to be 42 different kinds of, what do you do? Well, you can get very creative in your sinful ways of doing things. So that's what the Bible says. We need to make sure that as the church, not to follow the sinful desires of those with their thinking. So we need to make sure that we follow what God says and not what this world is telling us. Some people are getting so creative, including our current premier, that when a child is born now, don't be too rushed to say they are male or female. Leave it. When they grow, they'll decide whether they want to be male or female. How sinful can you be? God created them male and female. The Bible says, God created them male and female. That's what I saw. That's what I read. To tell me that I am no longer to say whether they are male or female because I don't know yet. I know if they are male, if they are female. You don't know because you don't want to know. Because you close your eyes. You don't want to see. You close your willingness to do what God says. And that's the tendency we have in this province now. And it's getting worse. Because people are getting more and more tolerant. And they're telling us not believing in that kind of thinking is that we are not tolerant. Well, no, we are tolerant. Because we are tolerating what God says. And we need to be tolerant to God's word and not to be pleasing to what people have their own agenda. We must love everybody, including those who would oppose God's word. We don't have any problem with anybody with their own view, what they want to do. We must love everyone. Jesus loved everyone. God sent Jesus to die so that anyone who wants to be saved can be saved. But we cannot love anyone more than we love God. And Jesus says that if you love me, you will obey my command. And in God's command, we don't see where it says that we must come up with more than two genders. We can't see that in God's word. So Paul tells us not to follow the Gentiles, not to follow them in the futility of the mind. So may God open our hearts and minds to doing his things, to bring glory to him, and not to seek to please anyone but God. Paul says that if I was trying to please men, I'm just paraphrasing today, then I would not be servant of God. So I need to choose whom do I please today. Do I please God or do I please the politicians who are telling me that now they know a lot better than God? Do I listen to my neighbors who may have different views concerning how to please God? Or do I open God's word? That's why it's important, folks, that we go back to the word. Because unless we know what the Bible says, then we can fall for any wind of doctrine, like Paul tells us. So we are advised to go to understand what the word of God says so that we don't fall for any wind of doctrines. So may God help us today to remember that we are his people, that he took time to create us in his own image, in his own likeness, that we must like ourselves. We must love what we see. If we start not liking this, not liking that, before you know it, you're not liking the whole body. And that's what's happening today. Those people are not liking themselves, and they are telling us that they have the right to do it, and we should just accept it. Well, you can do whatever you want, but we have to obey God rather than men. That's what the word of God says. So today, my encouragement to you is to remember that God loves you just the way you are. Don't let anyone make you feel that you are a reject. In God's eyes, you are a masterpiece. God loves you. God made you in His image and to His likeness. So God loves you and wants you to know that not only did He create you physically, but He also made of those of us who have become members of His church a new creation. We are a new creation. And Peter reminds us that we are in the family of God now, we are a new, all these things, so that we can give glory to God. So God didn't just make us for no reason. God has some intent. God expects us to take His name out there, to let the world know that they too can be saved. There is no one who is beyond salvation as long as they choose to obey God's will and be saved. Anyone can be saved, but it's up to them to obey the gospel and be saved. So those of us who have already put on Christ, who are members of the Lord's church, we are God's creation. We have work to do, and we have eternal life. Because salvation is for those who obey God and who continuously walk in the light. If you are here this morning and have not yet obeyed the gospel, why not today? Why not today? Because the gospel tells you clearly that we don't know how much time we have left. No one here knows how much time is left. So it would be wise, just as the people on the day of Pentecost answered the call when Peter helped them understand the name of Jesus was a name that they were supposed to obey. When Peter told them that Jesus was the one that they had crucified, when Peter told them that salvation was found only in Jesus, when we understand all these things, then they obeyed the gospel. They answered the call. About 3,000 of them believed and were baptized the same day. If you are here today and have not yet obeyed the gospel, we encourage you to come, because Jesus wants all of you to be saved. If you are not saved, it's not because God didn't try. God has tried hard for all of us to be saved. You can be saved today if you choose to obey the gospel. We encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing our invitation song.
7 minutes.